Welcome to Hot Air, the DC Breezes podcast. My name is Greg Esser. I guess at this point I'm obligated to tell you I'm actually one of two podcasts for the DC Breeze, but that is more joyous listening for you. I now have a younger sibling in Hot and cool Air. My young upstart of a younger sibling, my parents brought him home from the hospital a couple weeks ago, and I could not be more thrilled. Definitely a kicker, but yeah, it's great to have another podcast and guys to listen to, first-hand perspective of all the games. I invite you to check out Cool Air. I want to quickly go through the sponsors off the top here for the DC Breeze. I want to talk about what's going on around the AUDL. The Eastern Division is where it's hottest, though, and so I'll be focusing Hot Air on the East Division. And then lastly, well, the main event then will be an interview with Max Castle, a young, exciting player on the DC Breeze, a second-year player. Lots of big throws, but he's scoring by the bunches as well. He opts for some inverted throws. He has a lot more kind of hammer looks than I think you see typically in Elite DC Ultimate, and that is very fun to watch. His hammer is very precise, and so he's willing to throw it up and over the top for lots of goals. Yeah, Max Castle in store here, so stay tuned for that. As promised, though, a run-through of our partners. Big Board Bar, they have all the DC Breeze after parties after every home game. WAFC, Washington Area Frisbee Club, check them out, WAFC.org, and that way you can find playing opportunities all around the DC metropolitan area. MedStar, Sports Medicine, the official healthcare provider of the DC Breeze, and this is an important one. I'm hailing to you from the nation's capital, so I'm going to say it. A lot went down today on the Hill in terms of healthcare, so I encourage you to read up, be an active citizen, and support MedStar Sports Medicine. They're increasingly important in our current health provider landscape, given what's going on in Capitol Hill. Port City Beer, the official beverage provider of the DC Breeze and a sponsor, served up at every home game. Oak Creek Apparel, the apparel partner. Layout Gloves, they sell a custom Breeze glove that I encourage you to check out as well. Papa John's Pizza, Discraft Ultimate, and the American Ultimate Academy, our youth and community partner. Thanks so much. Another thing kind of going on around the AUDL is the AUDL Pick'em, AUDLPicks.com. Check it out. I do it every week. You get to kind of develop a mild gambling addiction, but it's free, so that's the best kind of gambling addiction to me as well. And this week I'll give you kind of my most controversial pick, I guess, which is the Alley Cats play on the road against Minnesota. The spread given is a 5.5 spread, and the vast majority of people online have chosen Minnesota to win that game. I've chosen the Alley Cats. They will be challenged. They'll be on the road. But I believe the Alley Cats can run a really tight lineup and hopefully keep this one within five. I don't think they'll win by any means, but I'm hoping kind of the Plu, the Carpenter, the Brocks, Grosses, all guys that have plus minuses over 10, lead the Alley Cats to stay within just 5 points. The real place the action is going down, of course, is the AUDL Eastern Division, though. That's where the Breeze are located. Breeze currently 2-1, but so are the New York Empire, so are the Montreal Royale. Surprisingly, at 1-2, coming in fifth in the East right now, are the Toronto Rush. Outlaws are 1-1. Philadelphia Phoenix bring up the rear at 0-3. Very interesting kind of shaking up going on, and particularly interesting because this weekend we get to see the matchup of the two guys at the top of the standings, both on the wins and losses, but also based on that point differential, and that's Breeze versus Empire. And I am super stoked because I will also be streaming live with a crew from AltiWorld, myself and Charlie Eisenhood on the mics. Exciting. Definitely tune in to us. Immediately after we finish the game, you'll be able to catch probably two-thirds, maybe only half, of the AUDL Game of the Week, and that is a cross-coast challenge match. Pittsburgh flying out to Seattle. Definitely watch that one as well. I definitely will be. The price, it is behind a paywall, but it is minimal, just $5. You pay a full 10, you get two more games behind it. If you paid that $10 up front for the Breeze cross-coast challenge just 2 short weeks ago against Raleigh, you're already in. Check it out online. The Fulcrum crew will be out there, so that's also worth tuning into. You've got a full Saturday night of great watching to be had, and I'll be happy to be one of the guys bringing that to you. That's enough out of me up front here. I'm going to throw it over to Broke Royals. Play us in, boys. episode 5 of 2017, I have the delightful pleasure to sit down with the Baltimore Bomber, MedMen's Madman, Hammerin' Max Castle. Max, say hello.
Hello.
Great. I'm so glad to get you on the program here today. We got a full agenda. I'm very excited to go through with you. Do you have any words off the cusp, wise words, just like that Zen thing that's going to center us? You're an offensive line player. What's the Zen thing?
Hammer or die.
Good. That's the kind of just real focused, calm effort that I expect out of a Max Castle play. Well, great. So I'm getting you on the back of an Ottawa game last week, but the season, the young Breeze season, now 2-1 the Breeze are, has had its fair share of ups and downs. So I kind of want to gauge you off the top of how you, so when I say ups and downs, there was the opening day, victory over Toronto, a huge victory, and then a week later you guys went down to Raleigh and you lost a heartbreaker there. In this young season, highs and lows, how have you handled it and how, advise me.
All right, we'll talk about the lows first because we'll just get it out of the way. So after that, the Raleigh game, it kind of sucked. I hate losing. Everyone, doesn't enjoy losing, especially like that. But if we're going to take a silver lining from it, it's good that it happened earlier than later. So we can kind of take this, learn not only strategically, but I think the big thing here is mental. And
the same way you took that question, you're like, let's get the lows out of the way first. You think that's also important, maybe over the roller coaster ride of a season. Take those hard knocks first.
Absolutely. You got to just get them out of the way so you can.
Is that your Baltimore upbringing?
Yeah,
take
definitely.
The hard knocks up front?
Yeah. So you can end on a positive stream. If you lose now, you won't lose later. That's just how it works, right?
That's science.
So strategically, I think one of the points was that we lost because we were trying to not lose instead of trying to win.
This is kind of your strategic takeaway of the Raleigh game.
Yeah, and Daryl talks about this a lot. In hindsight, obviously, is 2020, but we were talking about all these different things that we could do that would lose us the game. Like, so many things had to fall down for us to lose this game that we kind of had in the bag, and because we talked about it, obviously it happened.
Yeah.
But instead, we could have just looked at the positives and just kept kind of doing what we were doing. We would have been fine.
Are you a superstitious man? It sounds like you're saying you jinxed yourselves.
So, usually I'm not superstitious, but the past couple years, I've kind of been getting into it. I'm buying it a little more.
Yeah?
So,
is there a pregame routine for Max Castle now?
Maybe not a pregame routine. Just this Wednesday at practice, Catherine, one of our trainers,
yeah,
was working on my hamstring because it's been a little sore. And that's, all the whole rolling thing and the stretching thing, I do a little bit of it, but I don't really buy it.
Yeah.
Anyway, she laid me down and she did some voodoo stuff to align my hips, she says.
There was one of those dolls that you poke?
She was doing stuff to my ankles, and I'm like, Catherine, my hamstring's the problem, not my ankles.
Wow.
Anyway, I get up, and I do some sprints, because I've been warming up and trying to get my hamstring. It's been tight. And I went from maybe, 75, 80% to, 90, 95. I'm like, Catherine, I don't know what you did, but I'm going to start buying into this stuff a little more.
Wow.
She said something about isometric contractions, zoned out.
Yeah.
But I'm buying it now, so.
That certainly sounds made up to me, but If it worked, it worked.
If it works, it works.
And also, I think part of this is the stage maybe Ultimate's at as a sport is that at sitting on the Breeze sideline, there's now a professional trainer that knows her stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that I think it's good that it gets this much attention because I think there are some weird aspects to Ultimate that make you put more discipline on certain muscles and different body parts and joints and just impact after impact. It is a unique sport.
But voodoo aside, you're not chewing the same piece of bubble gum and sticking it under the bus and resuming chewing it after the game or anything
really.
Like that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. The None superstition hasn't gotten that far.
Yeah. Maybe one day.
Okay.
Ask me next year.
Got it. It depends if that next hammer lands in the end zone or not.
Yeah. I'll try to. Maybe there's a certain thing I have to do when I throw a hammer to make it complete.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not throwing it good. It's just throwing it.
A tick.
Yeah.
You slap yourself on the cheek and then throw the hammer.
done.
if it lands in the hands. Okay, so that's you covered the low. There's silver lining that you take away from it. How hyped up do you get after a big win like Toronto?
Toronto was huge. It almost felt surreal. I was like, is this the same Toronto we've played the past couple of years?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it just went so well. And I think a big part of that were we were just on. Like, we watched that game and our hucks were just like, you know, close to the back of the end zone every time, but not out the back.
Yeah.
So
evade the defender, but stay in bounds.
So I'm hoping it's not a bad thing that we've turned into a hucking team all of a sudden. Because usually I would say the Breeze is not a hucking team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe we are. And I'm fine with that, obviously. More hammers, more hucks. That's fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think we're going to take both games. And the Ottawa game. But it is crazy how, you know, our Toronto game, I would say Toronto is... Maybe it's bad to say, but Toronto's a better team than Raleigh. They're very different teams. Raleigh,
certainly,
very different mentalities and just like player-wise. So I think we're going to look at it as a whole, game by game, and we're going to take what we can from it.
It's yeah. Kind of the analogy I often give, and I think this applies around the East Coast, especially if you've seen a very contentious East Coast and Montreal upsetting Toronto, but not the first time that Montreal's beaten Toronto.
Yeah, wait, that's crazy. Montreal beating Toronto?
Yeah.
And they've had a history.
That's what I'm saying. It's not. You think it's like, oh my gosh, like this crazy upset. But this is like the fourth time they've done it over 2 years now, or something.
Yeah, Montreal joined, I think, 2014.
That's right.
2015 or
14.
Not. They haven't been around the whole time. And I saw. I think there was an article or something that showed Montreal has beaten Toronto like four times.
Four out of the 10 meetups, or something. Four out of the 11 meetups, something like
and
that.
And it's not like. When these Toronto teams or these Canada teams are traveling, sometimes they don't take their whole roster often because they're long trips and people have stuff going on.
Sure.
They've been like half at home, half away, and Montreal just straight up beats them.
That's right. And so the point I was going to get to with that, and you kind of made this comparison of Raleigh and Toronto, and the way I often talk about it is it's a little bit of a rock, paper, scissors match to me. And these different team styles, very different teams, you know, they play the rock to your paper one day, but next week you're scissors, and that makes a difference.
Yeah, I think some of it just depends on who's feeling good, who's playing better.
Yeah.
And that's how I like Ultimate. Like, if you're playing better, you kind of deserve to win the game. And I think Toronto and the Breeze have always been a good matchup.
Yeah.
So I think it's...
Always. There's been years where Toronto stomped us pretty good.
Yeah, we won't go back that far. but... I think it's the Breeze's turn to kind of show them who's boss.
Yeah.
I think we got the edge.
That'd be a good turnaround for 2017. But so, that's the past. Let's talk about the future.
Oh, absolutely.
This week, and this podcast should be coming out on Friday, so tomorrow, hopefully you'll listen to the podcast almost immediately after it gets out on the iTunes, you will be matching up against the New York Empire. The New York Empire, first meeting of 2017, after four meetings... all which fell in favor of the Breeze in 2016, but three of those, all regular season matchups, were separated by just 1 point. What are your thoughts going into a matchup this Saturday at Gallaudet University, Hotchkiss Field, against the New York Empire?
Some would say 3 1-point games means the AUDL is rigged. And, you know...
Some would say.
You know,
a certain man in orange spray tanner. Rigged.
And I'm not going to confirm or deny that assumption, but let's say it's not rigged.
You didn't sit down at the beginning of the season and decide on all the scores for the duration.
We haven't decided the scores. Maybe not for this one yet.
Okay.
But
you're calling into question everything I know.
Yeah. Well, so I think this is a big game, and I think whoever takes this game, maybe this is bold. Whoever takes this game is going to take. The series. I think we play them three times. Maybe
that's right.
It is four.
I think three times.
But this kind of sets the standard. I'm hoping. I always hope that teams can bring their full rosters here, because you know, you either bring half the roster and you get a win, and it's like that's. I want to see what they got.
So if they've got a full roster, they've got two players, particularly that play on that D line, that you'll be matching up against all day. In Ryan Drost and Jeff Babbitt. The guys are monsters on D. Babbitt led the East in blocks last year. Babbitt is leading so far in 2017. You know, what are your thoughts? What is your strategy trying to handle those two guys?
So they are kind of the 1-2 punch on defense. Babbitt's the real deal. He's legit. You know, he's got great highlight videos and great highlights, but he is so much more than just like a layout D machine. Well, that's pretty much what he is.
Yeah, he's a cyborg sent back in time to get layout Ds.
Yeah, and if a disc is hanging, he's going to come down with it 80-90% of the time. And then Ryan Drost, though he can get big and get, you know, deep Ds, he's the guy that if the disc is anywhere near him, he will lay out and go for that disc. So it is the 1-2 punch.
So and you've convinced me that they're very scary.
Yeah, what do you
intend to do? What's the strategy? What goes through your mind going through this to combat this?
So Babbitt, you just gotta keep busy because he is always gonna be looking. He's I'm not gonna say a poacher, but he's always looking to get that D. It's a skill because you know you can't just leave your guy, obviously, but. Luckily, we have Wodach.
Yes.
And Wodach.
That'll probably be a matchup we see a lot this weekend.
I'm hoping it's the matchup we see, because then that means he won't be on me. but Wodach has played against Babbitt before. It's not a matchup we've never seen.
Right.
And Wodach is definitely going to score some goals. But
since Wodach has a brother on that team, too, maybe he can exact some wise tips, or maybe there'll be a brotherly exchange of knowledge before the game.
Yeah, 1-2 trade.
Maybe that's the insider trading that maybe we talked about when they decide the scores before the season.
So we just got to keep Babbitt busy. He's going to get Ds, and it's going to happen.
Yep.
That's why he's a great player. But we just gotta make sure it's not 60s or 70s.
So, do you do anything different on the field when you know the opposition is Jeff Babbitt?
Absolutely, and we did it at practice yesterday. Actually, we kind of pretended there is a Babbitt.
Yeah.
So you know, Daryl talks about our hucks. We don't need 60-yard hucks. We could just use 45-yard hucks.
Right.
Kind of to our guys' chest instead of out to space. Just less time for people to catch up, Babbitt to make up ground and make a D. There's just less room for error, or less margin of error. So you just got to be aware of where they are on the field and who they're guarding, really, unless they switch. But they're pretty much going to guard the same. I'm expecting Babbitt on Wodach and Drost on either probably Allen. I think that makes the most sense.
Interesting. That'd be an interesting matchup with Drost and Allen.
I think Allen wins it, but.
I think they each have strengths that don't quite align.
That is a good matchup, actually.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Hopefully we see a lot of it.
Cool. And again, to keep them off of you.
Yes.
So the guy you've been working so well with in this early season that's blown up, I've seen some mentions on Twitter and certainly AltiWorld and those type of things, is Tyler Monroe. Tell me about the chemistry in this early season between you and Tymon. Because two of your seven assists have gone to him, but four of his nine have gone to you. You guys are working well together.
Before all the chemistry, there was a little bit of, there was some fire between me and Tyler.
Some fire? Is that mean a fight?
Not a fight, but, you know, I was a year above him in college, and my senior year, we were both kind of like, both captains of our particular squads.
You of Maryland, him of Washington.
Yep, George Washington. So we played against each other a couple times, and I think we pretty much traded games. But that was before we kind of knew each other, and this past 6 months or so, I've been getting to know Tyler very well, and we're good friends now.
And you're okay with him now?
And yeah, he's all right.
There's still something holding you back from a true endorsement.
He's fine. But we both love to score. We love scoring goals. And I don't want to say it's coincidence that we are throwing goals to each other. But we know each other's strengths and that we're both good players.
Yeah.
So if I throw a disc up to Tyler, I can tell you he's going to go 110% after that freaking disc and get the goal because he loves scoring.
Yeah.
So
you think he has to consciously forget you're on the other side of that disc?
Yeah, he's just kind of maybe put his hand in the way, but he is a great player.
Keep in mind, we're going to get him on hot air, so anything you say today, he's going to maybe have the final bookend or the final word on the season.
Maybe I got to smack talk more because he's going to come back twice as hard. bottom line, I think that the Breeze just pretty much give him all the goals and make him look good.
Okay. I mean, you're scoring in bunches too, so.
Yeah, that's all skill though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So it's a little bit of a newfound chemistry, but maybe it arrives from the best possible source, which is a rivalry.
I think the chemistry's there. I mean, we enjoy each other.
Yeah.
And
so let me go this. So if there was an historical allusion by which you might describe the rivalry of Tyler Monroe and Max Castle, you know, two famous like villains or people, you know, are we talking like a Cyclops and Wolverine thing? We talking like a Bowser Mario?
I think it's like a Bowser Mario. So he's Bowser, obviously.
Obviously.
Into the Michael Jordan Pippin, where he's obviously Pippin. And I can be that Michael Jordan.
Two perfect. Yeah. Well done.
So if Mario and Bowser can turn into Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippin, then I think that's how it would go.
Yeah. I think that's just a natural progression of the Mario Bowser franchise.
Yeah, we got to make sure Tyler listens to this before he comes on.
Yeah, for sure. So, great. That's all. That's everything that I wanted there. And actually, so we got talking about college a little bit, which is perfect because right now we are in the time of the year to talk about College Ultimate.
It's probably the best weekend of the year.
The best weekend of the year. This is we're deciding right now for the Mid-Atlantic. Is that?
Yeah.
Did I have the conference name right? Did I have the division name right?
Yeah. I don't think any regionals have happened for D1. Maybe there is a weekend.
No, so I think some regionals happened last weekend.
So some regionals already happened.
So there are some teams that are already stamped to go to nationals. But this weekend, the region that we're in, the Mid-Atlantic, is trying to stamp their passports. And, of course, your boys at Maryland are trying to do so. Tyler Monroe's tried to do so with his George Washington guys. But I would say, as a Debbie Downer, the top three tickets right now look to be getting punched by three North Carolina teams.
Per usual, unfortunately.
What are your thoughts going into this weekend? What are your thoughts for Maryland? What are your thoughts for the top three Carolina teams?
All right, we'll take the top teams first. I think UNC's legit, and they're only going to get better because they are a young UNC team, and it's scary how good they are.
Yeah.
So I think next year they're going to be better than what they are now, and they're good right now.
And you think they're punching a ticket this year?
Yeah, I think they're the favorites. Just because I know a few of them, and I played them a lot. UNCW, I don't know as much, and I'm actually surprised they are as good as they are because they lost some big players, but they still have Jack, who is also very real.
Yeah.
He's legit.
Yep. He's Jack Williams, yeah.
Yes. Jack Williams, and he can do it all. So as long as he's on the team, UNCW is gonna be a contender.
And that third seed,
NC State. I think they're a wild card. They're another team that is super young and they're gonna be better next year and probably better the year after that. But I think that's the team that is most likely to get duped and lose their bid because they are a young team, and
yeah,
you know, one loss can lead to another when your mental game is down. So there's a lot of teams that could steal that bid.
Hey, who are you thinking?
Maryland, obviously, definitely number one.
Yeah. So Maryland has not only yourself, of course, but some other cross pollination with the Breeze this year.
Thankfully, finally, they're realizing that Maryland is good at ultimate. Wow. And if Maryland's good, that means they probably have half decent ultimate players.
That may be true. You think they're finally realizing it, or you think you're finally developing the players?
The players have always been there.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
One of them is Nate Pryor, who coaches Maryland now.
And he's a Breeze guy this year, too.
He's a Breeze guy.
A rookie. A rook.
But he is the guy that I grew up. He was a year above me, and he's the guy that I came through Maryland just like, he is like my idol. He is legit. He is a great thrower. I think one of the best pure throwers on the team, knows how to get open, and I'm glad he got an opportunity to show it last week against Ottawa, and he played great. So hopefully he gets more games to show that he is the real deal, because he is legit, and I've seen him play for 5 years,
yeah.
And he is the real deal. So he's coaching Maryland. John Lee Walden is the only Maryland guy on the Breeze that is also
a player,
and he's a junior, so
okay.
He's got two more years left after this.
Oh, wow.
So you'll see, hopefully, a lot of him, and that guy is just a little engine running around his 5'7 frame.
Yeah.
But 5'7", 35-inch vert can get you still pretty high.
That's right.
So he's also the real deal. And he's, you know, he's picked up ultimate in college pretty much. So he, those new guys pick up ultimate. They get better so fast.
Right.
So you'll see him plenty.
Okay, so there's the Maryland forecast. Is there anyone else that you're looking forward to see if they can pull a big upset this weekend?
You got to cheer for G-Dub a little bit just because of Tyler, I guess. and you never know because in college, it really can only take two players or one player to make a run. Like, if they're on, you're on. The team is on. So I think if – I want to say VT, but I actually don't think they're going to do it. I think Virginia – there's just – you have to win so many games to actually make it to Nationals to get that bid that I don't know if NC State can take – you know, if they play seven games with an 80% win rate, that's not a great shot. There's just so many teams that could kind of beat them consecutively.
Yeah.
That take them down. So, if you like just watching Ultimate, maybe not college Ultimate, keep track of this weekend because I think the Atlantic Coast could be a little crazy. I think UNCW could lose. Like I don't think there's any locks. There never is, but I think there could be some
drama.
Some very big drama.
Yeah.
I wish I could go and watch, but we got some business to take care of this weekend.
Some business back in the district. this is a tough life you lead.
Yeah, you know.
So all that said, I want to get you into one of my reoccurring segments here for The Breeze. I call it over-under. I'm going to give you some things to react to. They're ultimate related. They are pop culture related. You're on the hot seat. I want you to tell me not only if you think they're over or underrated, I want you to tell me why. You got to give me a soundbite.
I love having opinions, so hit me up.
Perfect. All right, here we go. Hand blocks. We're starting ultimate.
Underrated.
Underrated.
And people love hand blocks, but I love hand blocks.
Yeah, you'll get the crowd into it with a hand block.
So many things have to happen for a hand block to happen that I guess I feel like they don't occur too commonly, but there's just so much that has to happen. Like, you're not going to get hand blocked early in the stall unless you are just, you know, completely outmatched or I really don't know. But I think there's – when hand blocks happen, like, someone messed up.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's, like, stall nine, but even then, like –
Yeah, they certainly feel like a bigger momentum shift than just like an interception.
It's huge. It's almost bigger than a turnover.
Yeah.
So when you do get a hand block,
make a good pop, the plastic sound on the skin.
There's nothing. It's like getting a block in basketball. Like there's just you just feel something on your forearm, and you're just like, hell yeah, like that's what I wanted. and you know there could be hand blocks. It could be layout hand blocks. There could be foot blocks. I'm gonna give it the whole scale, but you know it only goes up from hand blocks.
Perfect. Next one, I'm going to give you – so this one I think is a little interesting because I'm also hearkening back to your college days of playing other Beltway players.
Gosh.
Former Breeze, he's not playing this year, Nico Lake, over underrated.
Oh, man. He's going to kill me if I don't say – underrated.
Underrated.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why is that?
So I remember when I was a freshman or maybe sophomore at Maryland and I was still learning to play like – I didn't really know what was going on still.
Yeah.
I remember hearing Kerrigan's name a lot and how everyone hated Kerrigan at Georgetown. And Kerrigan is now one of my very good friends.
Sure.
He's a great guy, but I think it's funny how this comes up. But Nico was also said, and Nico was good as a freshman in college. Like, he was legit.
Yeah. I mean, he came out of a strong ultimate program out of Philly for high school. Even.
Yeah.
So he rolled up on the scene already throwing.
And at AMP this past season, he was like one of the center O-line handlers.
That's right.
So what Nico is very good at is breaking the mark. He got invited to the U24 tryout team.
That's right.
And I think it was well-deserved. So he's legit. I think me and Nico, again, little rivalry.
Sure.
In college, but we got to know each other and, you know, we're good friends.
Yeah. He's a little maybe calmer than Tyler Monroe,
definitely
though.
A little calmer.
So I want to see if that impacted your rating of
Nico
Lake. Underrated.
Yeah, Nico, underrated. I promise.
Sausage pizza. Maybe by one of our sponsors, Papa John's.
Overrated.
Overrated.
I will go overrated for this one.
Yeah?
I was going to try to force this, but I actually think it's overrated.
Okay. Why is that?
I think
pepperoni
just,
every time?
There's
no
just,
toppings?
There's just
veggie guy?
So many better meats. So many better meats. Bacon being the first and foremost.
Yeah.
I mean, but bacon paired with chicken,
I mean, bacon, better. Bacon paired with chicken.
Yeah, chicken okay. Bacon.
The old chicken bacon.
Yeah, I mean, in college, that was the go-to. The
okay.
You know, the Breeze.
Trump's sausage every time.
Yeah. Well, you would be watching the Breeze game, and you're like, freaking win, so I can use Breeze 50.
I appreciate you censoring yourself.
Yeah, well, hopefully you don't have to take that out.
The kids. Don't think of the kids.
So on Sundays, you could get that chicken bacon pizza for half price.
Yep.
Breeze 50.
There you go.
You gotta throw it in there.
Well done. So, you've been so gracious to actually, we're recording at your house right now. I'm seeing your beautiful new house out in Virginia. And the first thing I noticed when you came in, you're messing with a Raspberry Pi. You seem very tech inclined. What are your thoughts about the Google Home? You gonna get one of those set up in here? You gonna get an Alexa?
I'm gonna think about this because I gotta pick one, right? I can't go middle.
Yeah. Properly rated, not an option. Nothing is properly rated. Have an opinion.
I'm gonna have to say overrated.
Okay, why is that?
Well, I haven't had one, but I've seen. I think my mom uses one now, and just because of that, it's probably overrated.
when your parents are in on it,
yeah.
The day your mom signs up for Facebook,
so maybe out. I get one and I change my mind. But I do like how voice recognition is kind of the new hype.
Yeah,
and I have this Raspberry Pi, and that's one of the things I want to do is the voice and facial recognition, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I feel
terrifying
like,
but cool.
Yeah, terrifying but cool. You know, keep it offline when you're not using it, kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Right.
We
know where you are.
Yeah. Maybe my toaster is recording me right now.
but it's microwaves. I'm worried about.
Yeah. I got the tinfoil hat on. Sorry, I didn't bring one for you.
I'm so exposed.
Yeah. Geez, what were we talking about?
Next up.
Sausage pizza.
Sausage pizza. Okay. This weekend, marketing a movie for which is not a sponsor to the Breeze, but I'm going to do it anyway. Under or overrated Guardians of the Galaxy? Did you see the first one?
No, but I know enough about it to make a decision.
Wow. This is a bold stance you're taking without even having seen it.
Before I make my decision, let me correct me if I'm wrong, but Guardians of the Galaxy was very well reviewed and had...
Well reviewed and yeah, expected to do... I think a modest box office and then blew it out of the water.
Well, I'm going to say overrated then, because I like to be devil's advocate. I think it was a mediocre movie.
That you didn't see?
That I didn't see, but it was probably mediocre.
Okay, well, I'm never going to get those sponsorship dollars now.
Yeah, well, you got to say what you got to say.
Okay.
You got to keep them even, I think.
Yeah, you've dropped the term real deal several times on Hot Air today, so, you know, you're being the real deal.
Call it one of my catchphrases.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
So, I'm going to go overrated.
Hot Air's not blowing smoke up your arse.
Yeah.
Last one for over-under.
Oh, gosh.
Yardage penalties.
Underrated.
Underrated.
So, I think in most situations they are underrated. Especially at the goal line.
Yeah.
When you get the center of that disc, it's huge. And I think we rarely see turnovers.
Yeah.
When you have that center disc 0 yards out.
It is true the centering is like really valuable.
It's huge.
But 10 yards elsewhere on the field.
Yeah, I think it depends. Like, there are some cases where it kind of just stops your offense and slows everything down. But I think some refs try to kind of give you a second and they delay their foul call mm-hmm. to see if anything like advantage happens and then they'll call it, which I think is kind of cool, but it can kind of get kind of weird. But I would say in general, you know, I think it's a beneficial when you get a foul and it's not hurting you most of the time.
All right.
So underrated.
So you've survived over underrated.
That's great.
I mean, it's well done all around, but I mean, every topic I've thrown at you today, Max, you were right there with it. Is there anything else you want to talk about here today?
Actually, there's one more thing.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
You know, I could add it to the over-underrated, and I wanted to bring it up, was David Bloodgood.
Sure.
His Mafia playing status was brought up in The Cool Air, our rival.
Okay.
And they praised him.
Yeah, certainly.
They praised him for his Mafia play.
Really?
Overrated.
David Bloodgood's Mafia play overrated.
I just want to remind everybody that we played 3 games on the bus coming back.
Yeah.
And there was only one person who won all 3 games. and that is your one and only Max Castle.
Max Castle. I know him.
Tricking David Bloodgood in the final game to lose.
Wow.
Max was Mafia. Bloodgood was not. And I hype trained Kerrigan, and we killed him. We killed Kerrigan off, and Kerrigan was just left speechless.
Yeah.
Dead. And just lost. They just both lost.
So I don't even know how to take this news. I hadn't heard about the play by play of the Mafia that occurred on the bus.
I could go on for hours, but you know this is
important that people know.
Yeah, we'll see when the players listen to this. We'll see what happens. But no one can argue it. It happened. Bloodgood, overrated.
Yeah, I mean we'll see if the boys over there at they're anonymous. We even know they're on the team. We don't even know they're on the team. I mean, the guy's a cool
rubber band man was throwing some shade. So,
but like, are we even sure that they're not in person? They haven't revealed their identity.
That's true.
They might be, dare I say, Toronto Rush players.
Their voice changers are legit then. Like they're doing some crazy stuff over there.
The technology is just beyond belief.
With the toasters nowadays recording everything.
With the toasters. Perfect. Well, I'm glad that we established a line on the Mafia play on the bus. I was told, and I'm a modest board gamer, probably. I was once told by Markham Schaffner that if I came on a bus ride to an away game, someone would play Dominion with me.
Absolutely. I'm in. I love Dominion.
Wow.
And, you know, maybe I come back in like a year, and I will keep everybody updated on everyone's Mafia playing status.
Okay.
Particularly,
I don't know if I'm a huge Mafia fan. I mean, if I were on the bus, I'd get into it. But Dominion's where it's really at.
Yeah, I do like Dominion.
Okay.
Mafia is easy because you don't have all this. You know, Daryl had this app on his phone that kind of assigned roles and everything. So Dominion, you have to get the cards out and everything.
That's right. Yeah, so, I would have guessed it was very challenging on the bus, but
it wasn't actually. It was 3 o'clock in the morning and we were having a great time, so.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Max. Any last word? We can talk all night. I mean, you seem like you're finally in the zone. It feels like you're in the zone now.
I could go for days. I love, you know, smack-talking Tyler and Nico, and definitely Blood. I can't believe Bloodgood got freaking props for his Mafia play. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
Great guy, awful Mafia player.
All right, great. Well, on that note, everyone, thanks for tuning in to Hot Air. Adios.